Hey guys, my name is Crystal Kenny, and I'm in love with creating. All things artistic and imagination involved. I'm an American girl who chased her creative dreams all the way to Paris, France, making a living using photography. This podcast takes you inside the stories of all the artsy folks I've met along the way and gives you that extra push to discover your creative gifts. The desire to create is deeply inside each and every one of us, and I give you the tools and inspiration to find a new way of living a more creative life. This is La Vie Creative, the podcast. Claudine Hemingway is a descendant of famed writer Ernest Hemingway. We bumped into each other at a party and decided to team up and dive deep into French history, but with a twist, by bringing a spotlight to those lesser-known creatives in France. This is History with a Hemingway. Welcome back to Paris History avec a Hemingway, and today we are talking about the Ladies of Monet, Claude Monet's ladies. So I'll let Claudine take it from here.
Yeah, this one gets a little exciting.
I mean, they all get exciting.
Yes, but this one is, in the past we talked about the ladies of Manet and the ones he painted. This one is more about the Claude Monet's love ladies.
the lovers,
his wives. Everybody knows Claude Monet. He was married. He met Camille Danceau. She was born January 15th, 1847 in Lyon. She moved to Paris at a very young age and became an artist model.
Ah,
yeah. At 18, in 1865, she met this very young, struggling artist, Claude Monet.
Young and struggling.
Yes, he was basically always struggling. He began to paint her and fell in love with her at the same time.
Yeah. Wait, so, he painted her and fell in love.
Yeah, yeah. So he used her. You know, she was his muse. He started painting her right away. And of course, the two fell in love, much to his parents' chagrin. They did not like her. They kept threatening that they were going to cut him off if he stayed with her. So he would, from time to time, like, okay, and go back home. And then she became pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah. At the time, his father's mistress was also pregnant.
His father's mistress is pregnant. At the same time.
You would think that maybe he'd have a little bit like, okay, son, I get it. It happens. But nope, he was not happy. They were even more ticked off. They ended up living together, and his parents did cut him off. You know, she was pregnant. He didn't know what he was going to do. He was constantly asking friends for money. His other fellow artists, the two kept moving around to outrun creditors and also just try to find cheaper places to be. He at one point decided, you know, he was going to go and try to placate his family. So he went back home for a little bit. Camille ended up having her baby in his studio, basically completely alone.
Oh my God. Can you imagine giving birth alone in an art studio?
And I mean, this is, you know, the art studio of the 19th century. You know, there's
terrifying. Yeah.
And so she was all by herself. It was August 8th, 1867. And their son, Jean Monet, was born just all by himself. He was back trying to, you know, make his parents happy. And, so, of course, once they learned that she had the baby, it wasn't like a turn of events like, okay, we have our grandchild. No, they were still ticked off and cut him off.
What?
Yeah.
They let their grandson starve while they hated her.
I know. They really hated her. Even Frederick Bazille, the artist and very close friend of Claude Monet, even wrote his father a letter trying to say, you know, trying to plead his case, but it didn't work. At the time, Monet was so distraught and so upset about this because he's like, now I have this family. I can't afford this. He actually tried to kill himself.
What?
Yeah, he jumped off one of the bridges. in Paris, but he was a very good swimmer. And so as soon as he hit the water, those instincts kicked in. He swam to the side and jumped out.
I didn't know he tried to kill himself. Yeah. Gosh.
He tried to kill himself in this end. Yeah. He had a lot of depression and he, you know, they were struggling basically almost till the end of his life.
That's so depressing.
Yeah. You know, Camille, he loved to paint her. He first painted her in a painting called La Femme en Revers, the woman in the green dress. It was this huge green dress that they actually rented. He rented a dress. He submitted to the 1866 Salon. It was received and they hung it up, and he even won a silver medal.
But he still was poor his whole life.
He still was poor, yeah, till the end. Right before the end. But he painted her again in 1873 and the Red Capucine. He kept that painting with him until his death, which is surprising, and we'll tell you why that's surprising later on. He also had this love of Japanese art. So if you've been out to Giverny, which I'm sure you have, there's that room that is filled with the Japanese block prints.
Yeah, I love going out there.
And he was obsessed with the Japanese art. Many of the Impressionists it really influenced the Impressionists because of the colors and just everything about them. So he had this kind of fascination with any Japanese art. So there's this beautiful painting of Camille in this red, red Japanese gown holding a fan. It's really fantastic. But she also sat for Manet and Renoir and Bazille. So she, you know, kind of was moving around with all of them. All of his friends would come over and, you know, they'd paint Camille.
Normal.
Yeah, I know, right?
My wife is naked. Have at it.
Yeah. But she, you know, he was constantly trying to find money. He was constantly asking his friends, you know, he asked Manet for money, Renoir, Bazille, all of these people, you know, he's constantly always just begging for money. They kept having to move all the time. In Salon of 1870, he presented his version of Déjeuner sur l'herbe, which of course, you know, Manet is very famous for his that we've talked about before. But Monet also did one.
Where is this one?
This one's in the Orsay. It's huge. But there's just part of it that's in the Orsay. When he painted it, he used his friend Bazille, of course. And then the other gentleman in the painting is Gustave Courbet, which is another artist. And then there's two ladies in the painting. Both of them are Camille.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's this huge painting. It's basically when you come off the escalator, go to the fifth floor, the Impressionist wing. It's kind of the very first painting you walk into when you're looking down the hall of the Impressionists. It's kind of the first one there on the wall in between you.
Yeah, I know exactly which one.
Yeah. And it's kind of two separate frames. The mm-hmm. side on the left is really tall. The side on the right is like a square. And it kind of is in the center.
Yeah.
It was because he at one point had given it to a landlord to hold on to for collateral. And he kept it in his basement.
So it got messed up.
It got water damage and mildew damage. And so then when he got it back, when Claude got it back later, he was so upset and he ended up having to cut off all of these parts that were bad.
That's crazy. Why
when you look at it, it's this very, you know, it's like a puzzle.
Oddly shaped.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to see that. Of course, it was rejected. You know, there was a huge scandal because, you know, his painting was rejected. At that time, basically anybody that called anything Déjeuner sur l'herbe was just asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The two of the three jurors at the time had to resign because the public was so outraged that his painting was tossed out. In 1870, the siege of Paris began. And so he packed everybody up and went to London.
Good idea.
Yeah. And that's where you do see some of his, I mean, he's, you know, Monet, of course, is so tied to France, but there are a bunch of paintings that you will come across of London. And this is when he did those. At the time, it wasn't really a prolific time for him. He was still rather depressed. He wasn't really inspired, but he did do some pieces that you could definitely see, you know, in the Orsay and museums. Like, I think every museum in the world has a Monet in it.
Yeah, that's true. There's a ton of money.
Yeah, so. He just did so much. He returned the next year, and that basically was the beginning of his like most productive time. It was the time, basically the beginning of the Impressionist period. So it was like, you know, he was incredibly, like he just was painting constantly.
So he was a busy man.
He was a busy guy. Yeah. In 1874, the Société Anonyme d'Artistes et Peintures, Sculptures et Gravures was created. Yeah. This was in result because of the Salon not wanting to even, you know, authorize or even say that Impressionism was a form of art. At that time, they didn't have a name for it. But in 1874, it did get a name because he presented this painting he did. And the art critic saw it and called it Impression. It's the Impression of the Sunrise.
Yeah.
And you can see that painting in the Musée Marbeton Monet in Paris, which is an amazing small museum. But that was basically what started the whole movement.
So Monet is the start of Impressionism.
He is. Yeah. His one painting. And a lot of people were like, it doesn't even, it's like, you know, hard to look at. It's blurry. Why does anybody want to see this? Yeah. But he's still, you know, even when he was having this stuff all going on, they still didn't have any money. At one point, they were actually staying at this small little house outside of Paris. They were kicked out in the middle of the night. Monet was outside naked.
Oh my God.
Kicked him out. So he finally ended up finding a large donor that was going to commission him to do all these paintings, Monsieur Gibier. He went to go stay with him. They only stayed there for a few days because then he said that he couldn't actually pay him to commission these paintings. So they left. Finally, in 1870, he married Camille.
That took long enough.
Took long enough, yeah. So they were married at her parents' house outside of Paris. Gustave Courbet served as their witness.
I love that.
And so, you know, now they were, you know, legally married. They had a child, still constantly looking for a place to sleep at night.
Yeah, which is crazy considering that house in Germany is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that's the better years. But at the same time, in another part of outside of Paris, was a husband and wife. Ernest Hochaudet and Alice married him on April 16th, 1861. He and his family owned a textile business that he would run. In 1870, she inherited her father's estate, and a huge amount of money.
Nice.
The two of them had five children together at this point. They were living the high life. He loved to be able to just spend and spend and spend. He was basically one of the people that was like single-handedly supporting the Impressionists, like all the painters.
He was paying everyone to live.
He was buying everything he all could the that they would do. And so he would actually invite some of these artists to come to his house and to paint there and to paint the interior. So Claude Monet hears this. I thought, well, heck, I want to do this. There, you know, it's a place to stay, and he's paying all this money. So Monet goes out there in 1876 to paint some panels in his dining room. And so he went out there, and Ernest would go off to Paris to go to work, and he'd spend days there. And then he left, you know, Claude Monet is back there at his chateau, and Alice was there with all of her children. This is at the Chateau de Rotenburg. They became very flirtatious.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Meanwhile, Camille, you know, was left, you know, with the baby Jean, and, you know, I'm sure starving. And so Claude and Alice started having an affair.
Oh, no.
Yes. At the same time, Ernest's lifestyle caught up with him. His family's business closed. They basically kicked him out because he was just spending everything. He just, all he did was throw money around and had no money coming in. So the creditors started coming. He started selling off a lot of his paintings, trying to fend off everything. They ended up seizing his chateau, taking most of the furnishings and the paintings to sell off. And so Alice was like, okay, I'm out of here. Took her 5 children. She was also pregnant at the time.
With Monet's baby?
We don't. Yeah, could be. But she took all of these children, and she's pregnant, on a train. She was going to go move in with Claude, Camille, and Jean.
What?
She had the baby on the train. Meanwhile, Camille is also pregnant.
What?
So she had this child. Camille had a child. And it's thought that they were both Claude Monet's children.
Monet was a busy man. He was very brutal.
He was a busy guy. Yeah. So they all came and moved in.
So Camille was cool with this chick?
No, I don't think she. I don't think we'd say she was cool with it. But, you know, what choice did a woman really have then? You know, you leave or you put up with it. But, you know, he didn't have a lot of money at the time. But what's the difference?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, he's not offering much.
No, he's not offering very much. So they're all living together. At one point then, here comes Ernest. He comes and moves in with them. They had this very tiny place, and there was like 13 people in it.
With all these kids.
All of these kids. Yeah. Camille had their second son, Michael. He was born in 1878. It is believed that pregnancy was because it was very difficult on her. She started to become pretty ill. At the time, she started slowly slipping away, and Claude Monet asked Alice if she would help and take care of her.
Weird.
Yes. So Alice was looking over Camille, trying to help her out. She, it's now believed she had uterine cancer. She was suffering. On September 5th, 1879, Camille asked to see her boys to come say goodbye. She was still very with it, you know, mentally. She said goodbye to her sons and later that day died.
How old was she?
She was only 32 years old.
Oh my gosh, she was so young.
Isn't that crazy? 32 years old. And when you see paintings of her, you think that she looks like she's 60s.
Oh, because she had such a hard life.
Yeah. Claude sat by her for 2 days after she died. He just stayed there. He wrote a letter to his friend, Clemenceau. He said, I watched her almost with mechanical observation to the sequences of the changing colors that death was imposing on her rigid face.
Oh, jeez, that's grim.
Yeah, blue, yellow, gray, and so on. My reflex compelled me to take unconscious acts in spite of my grief. And he painted her. Yes, it's this painting that you could find at Orsay. I'll put a picture of it on my website. And it is, if you don't know the story, and if there wasn't a plaque saying that it was, you know, basically her deathbed, you wouldn't really know. It just is like her face and just kind of almost like she's surrounded by like a veil.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that one.
Yeah. So it's incredibly sad. So after those 2 days that he sat there, she was laid to rest. And then there's Alice.
I can't believe she was only 32. She was so young. I mean, living with that many kids would probably kill you pretty quickly.
Yeah. And then they're your mistress's kids.
God, what a miserable life she had.
Yeah. So Alice comes back to the house after she's laid to rest and says, burn everything.
What?
She instructed her letters, photos, paintings, anything with Camille in it, burned and destroyed.
So we lost like all of Camille?
Yeah. So basically that's, we don't know a lot about her life outside of the period that she stayed with, when she was with Monet, because nothing survived.
What a psycho.
Yeah. So that's why I said at the beginning about the painting that he kept with him until his death of her is so surprising that he kept it, because she just destroyed everything.
That's really depressing.
Yeah. So, you know, he was incredibly sad at the, you know, when she died. He got, you know, went into a very dark depression. And Alice just basically did all she could to just wipe her from existence.
Did Alice have any money?
No, she didn't, because they lost everything when she was married.
So she's just living with her six kids and the two other kids and then poor Monet.
Yeah, yeah. Ernest became very ill. He was living with them as well for a short period of time. He went back to his home that he had in Paris, and he died on March 18th, 1891 at 45 years old. This all happened. He didn't have Giverny yet. So Camille didn't. This is what before Giverny. He dies there in Paris, and Claude had already asked Alice to marry him, but she said no. And then until after her husband died.
So when her husband died, she said yes.
Yes. When her husband died, she said yes. He died March 18th, 1891. On July 16th, 1892, Claude and Alice were married.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Alice's daughter Blanche married Claude's son Jean.
No way.
In 1897.
Oh my God.
It's almost like, was an HBO TV show called Big Love.
Yeah, this is a great show in the making.
Yeah. After 35 years in 1911, Alice died of leukemia in Giverny.
Oh, she died of cancer.
She died of cancer. They were together for 35 years, far longer than he was ever with
Camille. That's a long time.
Yeah. He was, of course, very upset after she died as well. He said that he said in a letter to his friend that his beloved companion died today at 4 a.m. I'm helpless and I'm lost. He had become very popular at this point. He was very wealthy. You know, before that, he was on a train one day and he saw outside his window this beautiful area that was Giverny. He rented the house there. And then he was able, because he was making money, he was able to buy it. He was buying the land around it, buy, you know, other buildings around it. He created the pond, the famous Lily Pond.
Mm.
He had the water diverted to fill his pond, which ticked people off. Then the water lilies that are so famous are actually some sort of a species that they did not want there, and said that they would basically bring some sort of fungal disease to, you know, to the plant. And he didn't care. So he was just like, I don't, you know, I'm still going to have them. So he had done, you know, he created Giverny to this amazing place that you could go visit in the, from the spring to the fall. It's absolutely fantastic. It's just a short distance from Paris. And it's absolutely beautiful. But he stayed there until the rest of his life. He ended up getting cataracts in his eyes. He even went under surgery a few times.
Oh, that's scary. Cataract surgery back then? Yikes.
Back then, yeah. And that's actually why there are so many paintings of the water lilies and the weeping willow trees, because it's something he knew from memory. So as his vision slipped, he was painting. That's why he just over and over and over painted these water lilies and the pond.
So he's basically blind painting.
Yeah, yeah. And the weeping willow trees is what he painted because of all of the death of the French soldiers in World War One.
Did he ever live in that amazing house with Alice?
At the end of it, she was there with him.
But they really never had their kids there because the kids were all grown.
Yeah, the kids were all grown. Blanche ended up staying with him until the end of his life. His now daughter-in-law, stepdaughter / daughter-in-law. She ended up staying there with him and taking care of him the rest of his life. And with his son, Jean, Michael, his other son, kind of kept over the family name and took care of everything. He was killed in a car accident in 1966.
Mm.
Yeah, but he, Claude Monet himself died December 5th, 1926. The very famous water lily paintings that are in the Musée de Lingerie in Paris, he donated those to France on the final day of World War One, on November 11th, 1918. He gave these as a gift. He worked with his friend Clemenceau, who was a huge government and military leader. He said over and over he wanted to do this, the Grand Projet, this huge project that he wanted to do and give it to France. But he kept stopping and didn't want to do it anymore. And he'd send a letter to Clemenceau, say, I'm done with this. I'm not doing it. And Clemenceau would have to go out to Giverny and talk him off the ledge. And he said he would do these and he wanted to give them to France, but under a stipulation that he had a say in where they went and how they were hung.
Oh, wow.
Originally, they were going to build a museum for them in the back area of the Rodin Museum.
Mm.
But then they decided not to because it would clash, this is saying modern in the, 1920s.
Yeah.
It would clash with the Louis XIV style of the Musée, the Hotel Biron, that's the Musée Rodin. And so they kind of went back and forth and they finally decided on putting it into what was a formal orangery. That's in the Jardin des Tuileries. And so they built that. And then he worked with them about the shape of the room and how the light needed to come in. And so basically how we see them today is because of how he wanted them. He died before it was ever finished. So he never saw that. But he had direct influence on how they were hung, how they were shown, everything.
I love knowing that. That's really interesting that he was so involved.
Yeah. Even though we tried to stop it a few times. Yeah, but it is really cool when you go there. Make sure if you can, if you have the time, go in the morning and then go again in the late afternoon, even if it's when it gets dark, because the way it's set up with the skylight, it does change the way he wanted this effect with the light, natural light, of how you see the paintings throughout the day.
I didn't know that. I've never done that. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. So they're pretty amazing. But yeah, Alice, the fact that Alice just, had to nurse her, lover's wife.
So strange.
And then just destroyed everything about her.
The fact that their kids got married is what freaks me out.
Yeah, it is. And then, the son that she had, that could have been Monet's, his name was Jean.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
Yeah, but back then, there was like three names they used.
Yeah.
Jean-Baptiste.
Jean-Claude.
Yeah, yeah. So there wasn't a whole lot of names out there for the picking, I guess. But yeah, they definitely could have been actually, half siblings.
Yeah, that's even weirder. Oh.
It is very strange. But yeah, I mean, he was depressed and chasing money most of his life until those last, probably 30 years of his life when he started actually coming into money. And now look, I mean, his paintings, one painting will sell for $15-20 million.
crazy. I can't believe. Well, at least he actually got to see some money at the end. Most of them don't get to see it ever.
Yeah, some of them don't ever get to see it. But yeah, the gardens to go out there, it's amazing. You go through his house where it's so cool. They have like the dining rooms like butter yellow. The kitchen is probably the best part because it's got these blue tiles and all of this copper. And he was the one who picked out all of the colors and did all of that for the house.
I have to go in the house because when I was there, it was so busy that I didn't want to wait in line to go in the house. So we just did the garden. But yeah, that was years ago. Yeah. I think right now is probably a good time to go with the pandemic.
Yeah, even when I went a couple springs ago, I think it was, it wasn't too bad. You definitely want to have time to go through the garden. When you walk, the pond is on the other side of the road. There's like a little tunnel that goes underneath the road to take you there. Mm-hmm. It's when you're walking around it, you see the Japanese bridge that he painted so many times, and you're standing there knowing you're standing in the same place that Claude Monet stood and painted. Yeah, that it's pretty overwhelming.
That's super cool.
It's really cool. Yeah. And he's buried there too.
Oh yeah, he's buried there too. I forgot that part.
In a very not fancy
grave. Well, thanks so much for tuning in, guys. And don't forget to join Claudine on her virtual tours every Sunday around Paris. And if you want to take a trip to France, have her plan it for you. You can check out everything on ClaudineHemingway.com and tune in next week.
Thank you for listening to Paris History avec A. Hemingway. If you want to find out some more, you could always find me on my Instagram page, Claudine Bleu Blanc Rouge, and that's B-L-E-U, as in the French way to spell it. And each day I post a daily history lesson about a person or a place or something in Paris, or it's lots of fun facts. And then also at ClaudineHemingway.com, where you can also sign up for my newsletter there.